14. Beginning in verse number 1, excuse me. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it will suffice with us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Shew us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Here we are looking at a passage of Scripture that can only make sense by understanding that God is a three-part God, yet one. Three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we look at this passage, I begin at verse number 1 again. It says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The first thing I want to talk about and look at this morning is the heart of man. Let not your heart be troubled. Now here we are today, saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, looking for His glorious appearing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And oftentimes, if we get off focus and start looking at the carnal things and the worldly things, we were just talking a little bit ago about Israel and how they had that pride fest at the Dead Sea, amen. They need to forget the Dead Sea and get to the Red Sea, amen. They need to get through that. They need to get past all that religion. They need to get to Jesus Christ. But flying the Israel flag and the pride flag and the Israel flag, sandwiching that pride flag together, all that junk, you know, if we look around, sometimes our heart could get troubled. But Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. You know what the problem with man's always been? The heart. The heart. There's always trouble in man's heart. Jesus Christ comes along, He lives a life you and I couldn't live, dies the death you and I deserve to die, and He come back out of that grave. He said He had the power to lay His life down, the power to take it up again, and He came back out of the grave with power over death, hell, and the grave, so you and I could have everlasting life. You know what He does? He fixes immediately your eternal heart problem, amen? So your heart problem's not going to keep you out of heaven now because He's moved in. He took your sin on Him, and God imputed His righteousness to you when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, with a repentant heart, truly believing on Him. But we look at the heart of man, I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear things and I'm like, how could this happen? How could these things be? How could this wickedness, how could this evil take place? And how could God, I mean, we understand God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you be honest, I'll be honest with you, if it were you and I and we could have made a decision to get to take and stop this, we'd have probably been a lot less long-suffering, amen? You look around and hear what's going on against these poor children in the world and just a whole perverted mess going on there. You know, boys and girls not knowing whether they're boys and girls, and adults trying to talk them into not knowing whether they're boys and girls. Hey, they're born, hey, they got an F on their birth certificate, they're a girl, amen? So if you're here today, and again, if you flunked your birth certificate, you're a girl, amen. You got an F on that thing. But whatever your birth certificate says, well, you have to go back 20 years just to be sure. But if you were born at least 20 years ago, your birth certificate has the truth on it. I don't know what they're doing anymore. But the heart of man is so evil that, like Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. It shouldn't surprise us what's going on. But what surprises me is the long-suffering of God. I mean, good night, I knew when he saved me, I knew he was long-suffering. He could have turned me into a grief spot and sent me to hell a long time before salvation, and he'd have been right to do so. But he's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then we get back to the heart, and the heart of the believer should be to see souls get saved. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm more excited about getting out of here than I am. I mean, talking about leaving, even so come, Lord Jesus, than I am going to Walmart and handing out Bible tracts. Amen. Because I'm getting weary and getting worn out with all the stuff and all the attacks and all the wickedness. I mean, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. We don't belong here. It doesn't feel right. It shouldn't feel right. We're not friends with the world. The world's not friends with us. But the world has an influence on us, and it gets heavy. We see the heart of man. Verse number 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, if you got a fake Bible, it says many rooms. You know why? Not because of the Hebrew or the Greek or any of that. It's because they can't figure out how God's house could have many mansions. God's house is the third heaven, amen? God dwells everywhere. He says, "Where is the tabernacle you'll build me?" He said, "I'm not dwelling in tents." You know what? He dwells in the heart of men today. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm not looking for a vacancy sign on a hotel room when I get there, amen? He's got many mansions. Jesus Christ said so, and he's not a man that he should lie. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's coming to get us. He's prepared a place for us. I believe we're right at the door of leaving. Amen? And that's where we get to the verse number 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We've seen the heart of man, the house of the Father. We see the hope of the saved. This is temporary. This is temporal. All the pain and heartaches and suffering and attacks and weariness will be gone one day. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed to be like Jesus Christ. We'll be with Him. "So shall I ever be with the Lord," Paul said. Amen? The hope of the saved. The hope of the saved is not, "Oh, I hope the midterms go right." The hope of the saved is not, "Oh, I hope they get a better pope next time." Amen? They should really get a better pope sometime. But I mean, the hope of the saved is not counting on a religious figure. It's not counting on a voting booth or who's counting the votes or whether a Democrat or Republican gets in or whether or not Iran's going to fold, just say, "Hey, we'll give you all the oil," or whatever. The hope of the saved is we are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be just like Jesus Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is going to be over. This is temporary. But God has given me something that the world can't understand. He has given me everlasting life. Now, I'm glad He didn't give me everlasting life. Address here, amen. It gave me everlasting, because if you could live forever and you were stuck here, that'd be a miserable situation. But He's going to call us out of here. We're going to be changed to be like Him, and probably your worst enemy, you, are going to be gone. Amen. That flesh isn't saved. That old flesh is going to drop, and we're going to be changed to be like Jesus Christ. And for once, finally, we'll have the right mind. We'll be right minded. Amen. And I'm not talking right and left like Democrat, Republican. I'm talking right like Jesus Christ. We'll be right. We'll actually be righteous. We won't have the battle between the old nature and the new nature. You know what? I believe God will let us read His Bible all the way through eternity, but you won't even have to read most of it. You know why? Because you'll be like the Word of God. You'll know it. Amen? He expects you to know it now, but I mean, come on now. You got to read it to know it. Amen? Not just once through like the Sunday funnies either. You got to read it. You got to study it. The hope of the saved is we're leaving. We're leaving. Look at verse 4 and 5. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? We see the hindrance of religion. These men were religious. They had preconceived ideas of God, preconceived ideas of the Messiah coming. They had all these preconceived ideas that were dealt to them by religion. And when Jesus Christ walks with them, talks with them, eats with them, sleeps beside them, and they witness His power, His majesty, His glory, all His works that He does, they can't understand where they're going or the way. You know, that's the thing with religion. I'm just guy here a couple weeks ago at the nursing home, he's got it all figured out. Amen. He got him a Hebrew Bible, and he got it all figured out. And I honest to goodness, I didn't know what was going on. What's God's name, and what's Jesus' real name, and all this stuff. I got a Bible, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby he must be saved. But he said, what are you saved from? I said, I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from me. Amen. He said, hell's not in the Bible. I said, well, it might not be in your Bible, but it's in my Bible, and it's in your future if you don't trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Amen. But see, that's religion. They don't even know where they're going. They think. And then you got the group out there. You got the quote-unquote, and I don't even want to be behind the pulpit when I say this, the quote-unquote one true church, Roman Catholic, they say they're the one true church. They don't know where they're going. They say the only way you can get to heaven is if you go through their church, and if you go to their church, they can't even tell you how to get to heaven. Amen. You can't drink enough wine, eat enough crackers to be a good Catholic and get into heaven. You know what good Catholics do? They get saved. Amen. You know what I'd be if I wasn't a Baptist? Ashamed. Amen. The hope of the saved, the hindrance of religion. The hindrance of religion is bondage and shackles. Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says what Christ makes free is free indeed. I'm not a Calvinist either. God, you have free will when you go to God. You have free will when you walk with God. Now, the only bit of Calvinism I have is when He calls, you're leaving. Amen? That's not going to be up to you because you're leaving. You're bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We'll be out of here. We'll meet Him in the air. But the hindrance of religion. They knock on your door. Isn't the world getting to be a terrible place? Men, you need to get out more. This place has been a dumpster for a long time, amen? But you know what's always been true? The Bible's always been true. Jesus Christ always saves, and it's going to be that way till He calls us home. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But religion. Well, how can you know you're saved? Well, I got a Bible. The Bible says, these things have been written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, how do you know you didn't lose it? Because my Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, how do you know? Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they shall never perish. Well, how do you know? Because I've been born again into the family of God. Well, how do you know? Because God, I'm in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. Well, what do you think about that? Well, you're a man. I can't pluck myself out. Not only am I'm not in there like a marble rolling around on a greasy surface. I'm part of His hand. I'm part of the body of Christ. Amen? And I'm not because of me, nothing that I've done except trust Christ. It's all because of Him. He said on Calvary, He said, it is finished. Everything you need to do to know God forever and to be with Him forever is call on Jesus Christ, trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. As a sinner, saying, Lord, forgive me and save me. It's all a heart issue. The hindrance of religion. Religion likes to murky things up and say, well, maybe if, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, not a way. Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, they're not going the same way. They're not going the same place. Amen? The only way everybody can go the same way is if they're all going to hell. Anybody's going to heaven is going one way, through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. No man. Pope can get up there with his fancy fish hat, swinging that ball of smoke with his upside down cross and all that stuff he does, and he can get up there and pretend and play games and have people kiss his ring and call him Holy Father, and the Bible says not to call a religious man a father. He can do all that stuff, and he'll split hell wide open without Jesus Christ. And men will bow down and worship him. They'll touch the hem of his garment. They'll crawl over broken glass trying to do penance to earn their way to heaven. Trying to get the flesh to submit. The flesh isn't going to heaven anyway, amen? It's your spirit. You got to be born again, amen? You're baptized. Baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit of God performs an operation according to Colossians chapter number 2, where He baptizes you into Christ. He separates the soul from the flesh, and the flesh is no longer you. It's just a vessel carrying you. You are the saved soul inside, and one day you're going to lay the flesh down, and your soul has already been purified through the blood of Jesus Christ. So shall we, our soul, ever be with the Lord. Your flesh couldn't stand before God for 3 seconds. It'd disintegrate. Except when he walked this earth as the Word incarnate. The hindrance of religion. Look at verse 6. Everybody's trying to get their own way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. We see the hindrance of religion, now we see the hero of heroes. The whole world's fascinated with heroes. They're fascinated. Hollywood is fascinated with heroes. They're all fascinated with the damsel in distress. And, well, anymore, it's probably the guy in distress and the damsel saving him. It's all goofed up. But they're always caught up in this hero thing. And, maybe the gunfighter that saves the people from the villain, or the superhero that flies around the world and takes time backwards, or whatever it is. And all these heroes and all these folks that people want to look up to and they get in their mind as heroes. The true hero of heroes is Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nobody been saved from anything as tremendous as hell. It's Jesus Christ, the Savior. He's the hero of heroes. But you know what? There is a little bit of truth in some of these movies. You see these movies and somebody's hollering, help, help. And a hero swoops in and does their thing. If you're going to heaven, you're going to have to get on the help side of this and look to Jesus Christ as a repentant sinner and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. It's a heart issue. And the hero of heroes, he'll save you. And you know what? One day you're going to fly without a cape. Amen. You won't need a cape. You don't even need the flesh. Amen. The hero of heroes. Look at 7 and 8. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. We'll talk about the hard part for just a minute. The hard part is not identifying yourself as a sinner. That's not the hard part. That's why I loved preaching in the prison all those years, because they knew they were sinners. Amen? It's the religious folks that are still trying to figure it out. Realizing you're a sinner, that's not the hard part. Understanding from the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Lamb of God was taken away the sins of the world, that's not the hard part. Turning to Him and calling out to Him and saying, Lord, forgive me and save me. Salvation, that's not the hard part. You know what the hard part is? To understand how Jesus could be all man and all God. And that's where most of the battle comes in religion. And you know, that's why the Muslims think their prophet's as good as Jesus Christ, that prophet. They can't understand how God could be all man and all God. I can't explain it. All I can know is the Bible says it. Amen? And God promised Israel He'd come to the earth and He'd be their God and they'd be His people. And He came according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He came and He was... That's a prophecy of the coming Jesus Christ. And it says His name shall be, and it ends with the everlasting Father. How could Jesus Christ be all God and all man? He does math different than I do. He's better at it. Amen? you and I, let's use the Baptist analogy here. You got a piece of pie, you got a pie, amen, a pie. And you cut that thing into 8 pieces. Now you can take a piece out and figure out the percentage. You can put it back and say, well, it's 100% again. But when you put the puzzle together of Jesus Christ on this earth, you've got 200%. You've got 100% man walking this earth. That's 100% God. Only God could do that. God is not bound by Albert Einstein. Amen. He's not bound by the mathematical books. He's not bound by the mind of man. His ways are higher and different than our ways. We can't understand all those things. Hey, the natural man can't understand things of God because they're spiritually discerned. But if you're saved, there are still some things we'll never be able to understand until we get to be like Jesus Christ. All I know is that Bible says in Acts 20:28 that God purchased the church with His own blood, and He did it with His only begotten Son, the spotless Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, according to Peter. That blood that was shed on Calvary was God's blood. When the devil went to Jesus Christ, he takes Him up on that mountain, and he tempts Him. He's tempting God. And Jesus warned him with Scripture over and over and over again. He says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this, all these kingdoms, all this. You know what Jesus said? Worship the Lord God and serve only Him. The interesting thing, though, everybody in that Bible, when somebody bowed down, unless they were an Antichrist, somebody bowed down to worship Him, they said, don't worship me, worship God. Jesus Christ let folks worship Him because He is God. So I can't wait till His feet come back and touch on the Mount of Olives. But you know what? His feet have already touched earth. He's coming back again. The hard part's not salvation. It's understanding the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus Christ walking this earth. And the only way it makes sense in 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shewest the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, do you know the only way that can be true is if God is three persons? Was the Father in Him? Yes, He says so. Was the Holy Spirit in Him? Yes. Jesus Christ said that when He went away, the Father would send a Comforter. And then later on He says, when I go away, I'll send my Spirit. You know why He could speak for the Father? Because He's the words of the Father. One common misconception and misunderstanding about the Word of God is, before Jesus Christ was born on this earth, before He came to this earth in flesh, the three-part God was God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. And when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it became God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Word wasn't His Son until He was the only begotten Son on this earth. There was a three-part God in Genesis chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God, the Father, created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There's God the Spirit. And He said, let there be light. There's God the Word. There's a three-part God. He said, let us make man in our image. How did He make man? In three parts. Body, soul, and spirit. Amen. The Holy Trinity. This is the last thing I want to talk about. The Holy Trinity. And people want to take shots at Jesus and say, well, how could He do this? How could He do that? How could He be this? How could He be that? I may not give you all the answers outside of the Word of God, but I can give you answers in the Word of God. He's God. The reason He could walk on water, the reason He could heal the blind, heal the sick, heal the lepers, the reason he could raise the dead. Those are all things that point toward him being God. But there's one thing that solidifies it and settles it. He said, I have the power to lay my life down, the power to take it up again. When he rose back out of that grave, that shows you right there that he is God because he did it in his own power. The man part died. The God part has no ending and no beginning. Amen. It's not hard to believe, it's just hard to understand. So what takes faith? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. By the way, Jesus Christ said, sanctify him through thy word, that's truth. He said, as the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, he's talking about his words. Because Jesus Christ's words are God's words, because Jesus Christ is God. He said, I and the Father are one. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, that's not what that means. No, that's exactly what that means. There's one entity, and he's three persons in one entity, just like your three parts, body, soul, and spirit. He is God. It's not Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ is God. And you know what? He's coming back. You know, it's something interesting. In the old, something else interesting. This whole book's interesting. But in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the Jews couldn't spell his name. They had no pronunciation for it. They had to plug things in and just call it a name. Jehovah, that's where it comes from. That's not in any manuscript. They had to make that, make a word. Because nobody knows God's name. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses come up to your door and say, what's God's name? Well, that's a good question. You know, when Jesus Christ comes back in Revelation, it says he has a name that nobody knows. You know why? Because he has the same name as the Old Testament Father, and nobody knows it. But when he comes back on that white horse, he's got something written on his thigh, and that is the Word of God. Because he's the Word of God. There's a name that nobody knows. That nobody can pronounce, nobody can spell. And that's the name of the Father, and he comes back in Revelation, and he says nobody knows that name. Isn't that interesting? Ain't not a book like a Bible. No other book ever been another book like the Bible. The most amazing thing ever written. I'll tell you what. The most amazing book ever written, and I'll say this, and I mean every word of it. The most amazing book ever written is the King James Bible. By far, the most amazing book ever written. It's better than the Greek, better than the Hebrew, better than the Aramaic, better than Latin, whatever they had it written in, because this is the time that God perfected it and put it all together. You never had all the Greek in one place at one time. You never had all the Hebrew together at one place at one time, all the originals together. But when God purified His Word like seven times in a furnace of earth, here we come, we got a Bible that God's used for over 400 years, and He's going to keep using until He calls us out of here. This is the most amazing book that was ever written. I love this book. You got an NIV, RSV, HIV, RESPCT, whatever it is, get right with God, get your real Bible, amen? Amen. The Pope has not handled this. The other ones have come down through Roman Catholicism, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, other manuscripts that have been tainted by Jerome's Latin Vulgate and by Westcott and Hort, and they come down through here with a bent and a twist and a perversion of the original, if you would, that comes through a line that goes to Alexandria, Egypt, which is the type of the world, and I'm holding a book in my hand that comes from the Textus Receptus, that come from the line of Antioch, Syria, where Christians were first called Christians. I didn't come out of no Catholic Church. I come out of Paul's preaching, amen, before the Catholic Church ever existed. Judge not, well, whatever, amen. He the spiritual judges all things, see if a thing's right or not. Never been a book written like this. The heart of man is deceitful and wicked, according to Jeremiah, according to the Lord through Jeremiah. The house of the Father, you can't bind him up in a dwelling place. God lives. Hey, God's got a big enough existence to have mansions. Amen. You're not getting an 8x12 room. In my Father's house are many mansions. The hope of the saved is we'll see that mansion one day soon. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. the hindrance of religion. They try to cloud things up and muddy things up and take glory and remove it from Jesus Christ where it all belongs and take it and put it on some man or some something other than the words of God and say, well, this is what we believe because this is what the church always believed and this is what the our grandma taught or whatever. And the truth is, glory be to God, it's all His Son, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, obedience to the Father, is the only reason you and I are going to heaven. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's blood that was shed on Calvary, the hope of the saved, the hindrance of religion, the hero of heroes. He went to that grave for you and I, went to hell, dropped off your sin debt, come back out of that grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave, so you and I could have everlasting life. And everlasting life is eternal, and it lasts forever. And then the hard part's understanding how, why He could do that. Well, that's God for you. And the Holy Trinity. God the Father, from the foundation of the earth, looked down on the earth. See, this is where John Calvin got confused with Calvinism. God the Father, from the beginning, saw the whole thing. He's not inside time. He's outside of time, space, and matter, or He wouldn't be God. And He saw you and knew that you needed a Savior. Amen. You don't believe that, it gets even better. Hang on. He saw you from the beginning, and He said, Jesus Christ, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, He decided He was going to send His Son before He even saw you. But He saw a man in a fallen state and knew they would need a Savior, and He planned it out. Amen. And He planned that whoever trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, would be predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So your predestination started at your salvation. From the moment you trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And He wants you to be conformed now. He wants you to start conforming by the washing of the water by the Word. So, well, I just don't know about all that. Well, I'll tell you something else. John, the Beloved, in the book of Revelation, God took him up, and Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 was the type of the church being raptured out, and he showed him things in the future. And you know what John seen? He saw you. If you're saved, he went to heaven and saw you before you got there in the new body. You want to know what your new body's going to look like? Ask John. He saw you there. And there's no way you could be there without the new body. Amen? So what's just hard to believe? Well, it's hard to understand, but I believe it because God said it. Amen? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you have to understand everything about God, then you're looking for a different God. You're looking to be God. And the truth is, some things we just do it because He says it and believe it because it's true in His Word. Amen? I mean, when you tell somebody, hey, stop, there's a car coming, you can take their word for it. Amen? You don't just walk out in the traffic and get mowed over. Well, if you do, I don't know what to tell you. But there's some things you just do because it's right. And some things you believe because God said it. I don't understand how God could love me at all, let alone enough to give me everlasting life. But you know what He did? He took all His mercy and all His grace, and He brought it all together on Calvary as He sacrificed His only begotten Son and paid my debt. And you'd already seen it from the beginning. John had already seen me before it happened because God knew. And then His Son died and went to hell and came back out of that with victory over death, hell, and the grave. He rose again of His own power. Said, well, I don't understand how that happened. You know, the funny thing is, I believe it because the Bible says it. You know, there are people out there that don't believe you can live forever, and they're spending all their time and money and science trying to live forever. What a waste. They could just trust God. Amen. That Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every scientist, every doctor, every nurse, every politician, every pope, every preacher, every bishop, every deacon, every man, woman, child. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You got people out there talking about the hindrance of religion. They're still trying to figure out how to pay for that free gift. I got news for them. It's already been paid for. And you don't have anything that's even close to what Jesus Christ paid, so quit offering. But he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the hero of heroes is when Jesus Christ said, "Not my will, but thine be done." You see, in the Old Testament, Israel would not maintain obedience to the Father. So God brought his only begotten Son out through the line of Israel because they were his chosen people and they had no other hope. And he was completely obedient to the Father for them. They rejected him. The Gentiles, the dogs, the nobodies were coming to him. And God finally said, "I'm turning from the Jews to the Gentiles until the blindness of the Gentiles become in. Blindness in part's going to Israel." And you and I are saved because of his righteousness. He was completely obedient to the Father. There's only one being that's ever been completely obedient to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. The Savior of my soul, and the King of kings, Lord of lords, that'll come back and rule and reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. And he was able to do all that because God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit made a decision that it was going to be God the Father, God the Son on this earth, and God the Holy Spirit. So how do you know you're going to live forever? Because my Savior is, and I'm in him, and he's in me, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. I don't expect all the religions to understand this and to believe it. I mean, his disciples walked with him, and they didn't believe it. They couldn't understand it. A lot of people went away and left him because they couldn't handle it. But you know what? His word's true. Sanctify him through thy truth, thy word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. Not only is this the most amazing book ever written, this is the only thing in the entire universe that you can look at and put 100% confidence in. You can't believe, you can't put all your confidence in man. You can't put your confidence in science. You can't put all your confidence in any education. You can't even put confidence in yourself. But this one thing I know, right there you can confide in that. This is it. The Word of God, the mirror of God that points you to the Son of God and the eternal life of God. Back in Genesis chapter 3, the devil says, "You can be as gods. You just do what God said not to do." They did it. And they died. You know what God's telling you now? You can be like God the Son if you do what he says to do. Nobody wants to eat that fruit. Nobody wants to partake in that. The majority of people want to reject Jesus Christ, reject the blood atonement. Most of them want to reject the fact they're even sinners. And if they admit they're sinners, they want to reject there's even a hell. But they're trusting all kinds of things. They're not trusting this book. You got their faith misplaced. True faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're trying to rightly divide it, and he's going to divide us out of here soon. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and you've never truly repented and trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, maybe you've been religious. You've been faithful to church. You've been faithful to water baptism or confirmation or some kind of a program or join some church membership, maybe a lot of church memberships. belong to a lot of denominations. That's not the question. The question is, do you believe and do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call on him today, bow your head in prayer, and ask him to forgive you and save you, trust in him and him alone. And Jesus Christ said, if you go to him in no wise cast you out, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father by him. Are you saved? Or are you religious? Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are ungodly. And if you die today without Christ, you'll split hell wide open. And you'll come out just long enough for the great white throne judgment and be cast into a lake of fire for eternity. When Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. And what you need to do is call on him.